Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Bible on Trial with Spirit of Truth Ministry team. I am encouraged by what we are seeing in the world today. Believe it or not, with all of the angst and grief that's going on, there are certain parts of that that are warming the cockles of my heart. And Rick and I had a little bit of a discussion about that yesterday, and I think he's going to talk a little bit about it. But before we get to that, I want to remind you of our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, which is the primer for truth ministry. Also have writing by Rick Sterling, including The Grand Plan and a number of other writings. And we hope you go there and take a look. We have also a secondary website, our original website, which we actually don't maintain, but we just keep online for archival purposes. That is found at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. And there you will find all listen to your voice through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, through the words of God Almighty in the Old Testament, that he gave to Amen. All righty then. Good morning, Rick. How are you doing today?
Dennis, your volume is way down.
It is?
Now you're good. During the prayer, I couldn't even tell you were doing anything.
I couldn't. I didn't touch anything, Rick. I don't know what's going on.
You've been kind of going in and out, and when you gave the prayer, it went almost dead silent. I can hear the dog.
This is Don. This is Don, and you went totally dead.
I did. Huh.
Didn't hear you at all.
My volume was up, everything. I hadn't touched anything.
Went totally dead. Totally dead.
Yeah, it was almost like a loose connection or something, because it was getting a little hit and miss, and then it just went out completely.
See, I
but
don't understand.
Fine now.
And shall I do the prayer again?
No.
it's working
I think
good now.
I heard it.
Let's get started. It's working good now.
Okay. Let's see. What was the other thing? Oh, today is May 15, 2020. So, good morning, Larry. How are you?
Doing fine.
Oh, now, see, that's the way a volume should sound. I don't know what's going on. Okay.
Yeah, Dennis,
up,
and you
Rick.
Just kind of went into a little static and then hitchiness, and now you're good.
I have no idea. I haven't touched a single thing. I mean.
Well, maybe you should start touching something. Maybe I don't know.
You know,
anyway.
I mean, I just pushed in. Everything is locked in. Everything is clicked in. I don't have a clue as to, volume control. I've got the lights, you know, the gain on the board is showing full volume, so I don't know
but
what's
it,
happening.
But it sounded like, as you know, how when you have dust on the rheostat on, you know, on like a knob, a volume knob, and you turn it, you get that kind of sound.
I haven't touched any of those.
Anyway, it's working. It's working okay. Good now. Okay. So let's go.
Don is getting anxious to get started. So let's get started. What do you say, Don?
Well, it's a crazy time. So tell us from your angle what's going on.
You know, I made a crazy observation. I shared it with Dennis yesterday. You talk about off the wall, although I do think there might be something to it. And I will tell you why I think that. You know, we've been talking about life road and death road, probability instead of possibility, because I think it's more than just a possibility. I think it's a probability. It still doesn't mean that it is, but probability is more like a 90%, where possibility is kind of like 50%. What we read in Revelation, excluding Revelation chapter 10, is an account of a dire situation. There's some hope, because in Revelation we see the coming in the clouds, and that there are 144,000 servants and for God that start out, that are sealed. We see the winds, the four winds of God's four dreadful judgments being held back past the time which they were to be released. And we wonder, we wonder how that will all play out. What we're told about that is that the people of earth have willingly submitted to the authority of the leadership that is fully and completely under the authority of the devil. It says in Revelation 13 that the devil gives them his throne, his authority, and great power. And they set about to destroy everything, pretty much. And right near the end, you know, we see the abyss that has been locked, and we see an angel with a key and unlocks the lock and the chain and opens the door of the abyss, and out of the abyss comes locusts, you know, it says locust, and that these locusts have as ruler over them the angel of the abyss. And his name is Abaddon and Apollyon, which means destroyer or destruction. And those last 5 months are hell on earth, when we have the beast, and the dragon gives breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast speaks and causes everybody to submit and worship the beast and receive his mark. And his mark is 666. Or as typical today, what everybody is seeing is 666. And I want to tell you, You look around today, you're seeing 666 all over the place. Hollywood stars, governmental officials, music, music stars, flashing 666 all over the place. I mean, if you want to look for 666, it is there. And the mark of the beast, it says, is 666, and no one can buy or sell except that they have the mark. And that this mark, once you have it, you are tracked. You are tracked wherever you go. Facial recognition and the ability to be able to handle all the data for tracking everyone on the face of the earth has been made capable by the 5G cellular network that is being set up all over the world. And as I took all of this into consideration, and then I thought, you know, it really looks like the life road probability is trying to work itself into reality. By that, I mean there is an active war, a spiritual war. At this point in time, it is a spiritual war. And it is a war against the satanic cabal, otherwise known as the deep state. The deep state doesn't just operate in the United States. It has been operating all around the world. We have the United Nations, which is deep state. We have the EU, the European Union, which is deep state. The whole CCP is deep state. CCP is the Chinese Communist Party. Deep state is ruled over and controlled by Satan and the spiritual beings who joined with him in the insurrection against Almighty God. Now, I don't think that Satan wants the world to go on the life road, because that would demonstrate the people are choosing Almighty God over the satanic cabal that he has worked so hard to create. It's been millennia in the making. And to have people choose to take the life road is to spit in the face of the devil. You see, the devil has really had it his way all along. He took over the nations. They didn't really know any better. They didn't have information about their creator, the true God. So God created the man, and he took from his side the helper, his wife. And come time to demonstrate their willingness to obey God, they failed. Their firstborn child failed. It got to the place where failure was the norm, with rare exception. Enoch, one of those rare exceptions. Noah, one of those rare exceptions. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, rare exceptions. I could give you a list of rare exceptions, but they're rare and they're exceptions to the norm. When God acted upon his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that he would bring their offspring out of the land of Egypt where they were slaves, and he would bring them to the land of Canaan. He promised that he would give them that land as an inheritance. And with rare exception, there were those who did not bend the knee to Satan. All those who worship Baal worship Satan. All those who worship Asherah worship Satan. With rare exception, the children of Israel worshiped Satan. It got to the place where God said, "You've run out of time. And so I am going to remove you from the land." And he did. And he said, "I will bring you back, but I want you to understand this right now. The ones I'm bringing back are going to be the next generation. I'm not bringing back those who went into captivity and did not... And we're worshiping the Baals. The next generation was pure. It was like when he brought them into the promised land the first time. It wasn't that generation that left Egypt. It was the next generation that entered the promised land, with the exception of two people. Caleb and Joshua, and the reason that those two people were exceptions is they didn't bend the knee to Baal. They stood up for God. All alone, the devil has prevailed. All alone. I can't find a time where the whole group of people, the whole entire group of people committed to God and were true to their commitment. Here we are in the end of days. And there is a very good probability that the people of earth are not ready to go down the road of disobedience and honoring, worshiping, and serving the devil. People still have love in their heart for their neighbor. They still want rule of law. the one thing the people don't have is the full knowledge of God. They know of God, and they worship the God they know of, but they don't know God. And I believe that that is what God is has planned, is that on the life road, his servants will be teaching the people about the true God, so that they will know the true God. But you see, it looks to me like the devil may be trying to bring about the death road reality. I see it. Now, I'm not going to say that it is indeed, in fact, happening. But I see it. I see the concerted push with 666. I see that there is a plan in place with all of the participants in the leadership of the world that would have gone on the death road. And they are all in high gear, so to speak. I'm going to give you a for instance. Years ago, because of two words that I heard, and I know that I heard those two words, and I know that I heard the two words from the Holy Spirit. Know it, absolutely, no question about it. Now, I'm not one of those that are going to tell you that the Holy Spirit talks to me all the time, because she doesn't. She doesn't need to. If she needed to, she would. But this one time, and this happened probably 25 years ago, and it was that the trumpets and the bowls affect the same thing in the same order. The trumpets are redemptive judgments. The bowls, B-O-W-L-S, are punitive judgments. So I want to draw your attention to the sixth trumpet. You find that in Revelation chapter 9, starting with verse 11. The sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice out of the four horns of the golden altar in front of God. It spoke to the sixth angel and to the sixth angel with the trumpet and said, "Release the four angels that are chained up the great river Euphrates." These four angels had been put there ready for this hour, for this day, for this month of this year, and now they were released to destroy a third of the human race. I learned how many there were in their army, twice 10,000 times 10,000 mounted men. In my vision, I saw the horses and the riders and their breastplates of flame color, hyacinth blue and sulfur yellow. The horses had lions' heads, and fire, smoke, and sulfur were coming out of their mouths. It was by these three plagues, the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur coming out of their mouths, that the third of the human race was killed. All the horses' power was in their mouths and their tails. Their tails were like snakes that and had heads that were able to wound. But the rest of the human race who escaped these plagues refused either to abandon the things that they had made with their own hands, the idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood that can neither see nor hear nor move, or to stop worshiping devils. Nor did they give up their murdering or witchcraft or fornication or stealing. I'm going to read the seventh trumpet. And notice, interestingly enough, what chapter is inserted between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. So Revelation 11, starting with verse 14. That was the second of troubles. That the sixth trumpet is the second of the troubles. The third is to come quickly after it. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and voices could be heard shouting in heaven, calling, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his anointed, and he will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders enthroned in the presence of God prostrated themselves and touched the ground with their foreheads, worshiping God with these words, 'We give thanks to you, Almighty Lord God. He is and he was, for using your great power and beginning your reign. The nations were seething with rage, and now the time has come for your own anger and for the dead to be judged, and for your servants, the prophets, for the saints, and for all who worship you, small and great, to be rewarded. The time has come to destroy those who are destroying the earth.' Then the sanctuary of God in heaven opened, and the ark of the covenant could be seen in it. Then came flashes of lightning, peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a violent hail." Now remember what we read in the sixth trumpet. And we're going to turn now to Revelation chapter 16. We're going to read about the sixth bowl. That starts in verse 12 of Revelation 16. "The sixth angel emptied his bowl over the great river Euphrates. All the water dried up, so that a way was made for the kings from the east to come in." Now, there's been a lot of speculation about the kings from the east, who they might be. Most of the speculation revolved around the Middle East, and the kings from the east were probably Babylon or Iraq and Iran and, you know, possibly Greece or Turkey. And that, you know, is a reasonable thought. But really, the king of the East would be the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. And I do believe that this cabal in China, the Communist Party in China, has been empowered by the frustrated deep state cabal leadership. And the devil has decided he's going to unleash on the world death road realities if God is not going to make it happen for him. He is going to make it happen. I just want you to process that for a little bit, and we're going to read on. Then from the jaws of the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, I saw foul spirits come. They looked like frogs, and in fact were demon spirits able to work miracles, going out to all the kings of the earth to call them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. This is how it shall be. Now, I find interesting this verse. Verse 15, this is how it will be. And then he says, I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake and not taken off his clothes so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. They called the kings together at that place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Maybe not. Maybe I'm seeing more there than was ever meant to be, but I find it interesting that it would appear that the sixth angel, and I'm not saying that God had anything to do with this, because these are his punitive judgments on everyone who has received the mark of the beast. But what I'm saying is that it very well could be that the deep state that still has influence, controlling influence over the world, released the virus, caused the pandemic, and bring the world onto the death road to make fear so powerful and so strong that the sheeple would be much easier to control and bring them back to where the devil needed them to be. I don't see that happening. I actually see a rallying and an awakening of the people of the world to the fraud that has been perpetrated upon them for centuries. And that they are fighting back against this wave of plague. And one thing I want everyone to know, God has not stepped back to watch and see whether the devil can convince enough people so that he can bring about the death row. God will not abandon the people who trust in him and are worshiping him, even if they don't know him. He understands why they don't know him. They know of him, but they don't know him. And even those who don't worship him, and I'm talking about those who worship Allah or who worship as a Buddhist or a Hindu, because they worship what they don't know just as much as any Christian worships who they don't know. But the condition of the heart of these people is not bad. It is caring for their fellow man. It is making sure that their neighbor has food and has access to medical care if they need it. They have concern and care for their neighbor, for their brother, their sister, and they are willing to stand up for them, for the weak, to be the strength for the weak is what I'm talking about. And it's interesting, again, I find that in this verse, in Revelation 16, and the sixth angel and the kings of the east, way out of place verse. I mean, this sentence of whatever you want to call it. This is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who stayed awake and not taken off his clothing, so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. That sounds like it's taken right from Matthew 24. Let's go to Matthew 24 and read it. And this is Matthew 24. This is not in Revelation. There's, I believe, some significance to that also. Key word is awake. Key word is awake. And then if he's awake, is he wearing a robe of righteousness, or did he take it off and he's running around naked, not knowing what is happening? Matthew 24, verse, let's start with 42, yes. Verse 42 starts off with, so stay awake. What did it say in Revelation 16, 15? It said, I shall come like a thief. Happy is the man who has stayed awake. So stay awake, because you do not know the day your master is coming. You may be quite sure of this, that if the householder had known at what time of the night the burglar would come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed anyone to break through the wall of his house. Therefore, you too must stand ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We have it all here. We have stay awake, we have coming like a thief, and we have you do not know the hour to expect him. But then it goes on. What sort of servant then is faithful and wise enough for the master to place over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Food at the proper time.
Rick, that would imply that there is an improper time for that particular food as well, wouldn't it?
Yes. In fact, I would say that it is fundamental to this whole explanation and description, because proper time, faithful and wise enough servant sees that things are not going according to his schedule, it becomes irrelevant to him, and he may be even a little upset with God for leading him on like that. But what I see is God has to do this because of what he needs this faithful and wise enough bondservant to do. He's not teasing this bondservant. He's not purposefully frustrating him. He's disciplining him. He's preparing him. As a teacher would any one of his students, any one of his disciples. Disciple is prepared to have everything they need to accomplish what they must accomplish. This has to be done through human endeavors. God is there to help. God will educate. God will prepare. God will give strength. God will do everything that God is knows needs to be done, but the individual and the individuals who have made a commitment by what they have determined to do, to learn the truth, to practice the truth, and to preach the truth, they have done this not so that they will be saved, but so that the world can be saved through their efforts with the direction of Almighty God. So is it a surprise, as we read on here after that, happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at this employment. I tell you solemnly, solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. Now, to me, that is a huge responsibility. When you think about it, that is a huge responsibility. And do you think that this person could just, you know, wake up and go, oh, everything that we've learned is wrong, and so let's get going? This person has to demonstrate that they have the ability and the commitment and the strength and the wisdom to be the chief administrator over everything that God has created. That, when I think about that, It's, you know, like I've said before many times, it's like Joseph in Egypt. When Pharaoh had the dream and Joseph was in prison and, you know, kind of he'd been forgotten about by the chief taster of wine and the baker of bread, and they were released, and you know, you know that story. And finally, when Pharaoh has a dream, he wants to find somebody who can interpret his dream, is like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. And then, oh yeah, you know, there was this guy in down there in prison with me, and he told me my dream, and it came true. He says, well, Pharaoh says, where is this guy? Bring him up here. And Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh put on his royal cloak on Joseph, and he said to him, you are placed over all of the land of Egypt and all that Pharaoh ruled over. Only on the throne will I be over you. We see here the same thing for the same reason. Why was Joseph in prison in Egypt? Because he had determined to remain faithful to God. He showed demonstration of obedience, even when he knew what it was going to get him. Even though he knew that if he was caught, or he knew that by not giving in to Potiphar's wife, giving her what she greatly desired, he knew what would happen. He was put in prison falsely. The important thing here is demonstration of faithfulness and showing that you are wise enough for the master to place him over his household, to give them their food at the proper time, and then place him over everything he owns. It's also interesting, it has to do with food. In Joseph's day, it was because a real famine was coming and it was real food. In the days of the faithful and wise enough bondservant, it is a spiritual famine, and it is spiritual food that he is feeding his fellow bondservants. That's also interesting when we think of the third seal. The third seal is explaining conditions of famine. So, putting this together, Revelation 10 has a lot of key indicators that speak volumes without saying much. And I'm here to tell you that is exactly how God works in communication. God doesn't get into wordy explanations. He doesn't go through long proofs. God only says, as I have always said from personal experience, God is one of few words. When I prayed for help with the problem of Revelation 13, I was having the second beast of Revelation 13. God only said two words. He said, fifth bowl. But from those two words, I knew exactly, I had exactly what I needed. I made the proof. It was incredible. In Revelation 10, the key word is delay. And we find that in verse 7 of Revelation 10, the mighty angel says this after he swears by God. The time of waiting is over. The time of waiting or the delay . What it does is it reveals that there are people waiting for something. And in this case, it would seem to be the judgment. And by saying that the time of waiting is over, then goes into at the time when the seventh angel is heard sounding his trumpet, God's secret intention will be fulfilled, just as he announced in the gospel told to his servants, the prophets. The good news, the gospel, it's what he said. When we're talking here about servants, the prophets, who do you think it is referring to? Do you have an idea?
Well, it is not the prophets. It's not the prophets of old, that's for certain. It has to be for this time.
So why would you say it's not the prophets of old? You see, how is it that we have Revelation? We have Revelation because one of his disciples, who was a servant, the prophet, was given this information and he wrote it down. Matthew, who was one of his disciples, wrote down Matthew, what we have in chapter 24 and 25. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, somewhat Ezekiel. We have all these prophets telling us what? That God is going to establish a kingdom here on earth, and this is how it must come to be. Now, I will say that if I'm correct in what Revelation 10 is doing, that information in that little book, little scroll that is unrolled and is in the angel's hand, that information will come to the servants at the end of time. It has to, because otherwise who would know what the information was? But God...
And Rick, that's why I said what I said.
Right. I
was thinking ahead.
God's secret intention is contained in the seven thunders. Now, what God has always wanted is he has wanted representation on this earth through, but the representation had to be flesh and blood people, and they had to be righteous, and they had to know him. They had to know him, not know of him, not know about him. They had to know him. That's why the Son of God talks about he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. We
and you know, Rick,
must know God as well as the Son of God knows God. And that is possible, or he wouldn't have said it. Yes, Dan.
And you know, this goes far beyond what most people who say they believe in God mean. Because what they're looking at is they're looking at the feeling they get when they go to church. Yesterday, a couple of the ladies at work were talking, and one said, well, our church is going to open up no matter what. And the other one says, well, if mine doesn't, I'll come to your church for a while. And she said, I can hardly wait to raise my hands to the Lord. And that is not what you are talking about when you say, know the Lord.
That's absolutely right, Dennis. That word know, where we see that God said in the new, when he talked about making a new covenant with Israel and Judah, and they would be one nation under God, so to speak, that no more would anyone have to teach his brother or his neighbor and say, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And that word know is the same know, K-N-O-W, that is translated by, for instance, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore him son. Adam knew his wife. It's the same type of knowing that a husband knows his wife and his wife knows her husband. It is the same thing where the woman was taken out of the man, and the man saw the woman as his flesh, flesh of his flesh, and bone of his bone. To know God must be intimate. God must be in you, and you in God. And the only way you do that is to learn the truth 100%. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We will continue this tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time on another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. You can go to our Blog Talk Radio website anytime and download many more than 1,000 programs. We would encourage you to go there and use that as a resource. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a blessed day, and we will see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time right here at the same location. So long for now.